Thursday, December 14th, 2017. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City. You know, we talk sports every single weekday, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. We also try not to take ourselves a little too seriously. We are happy to have you with us today. Happy Thursday to you. We have almost made it through another work week. Hey, if you would like to contact us, and we would love to hear from you, hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you'd like to contribute to the show, ask a question, maybe you want to suggest a top five for us to do on Fridays, maybe you want to ask for some dating advice, let me tell you, we will hook you up. We have fixed many relationships here on the Daily Dose, possibly ruined a few. Don't worry about that. Hey, how well do you know college football? And how well can you predict the college football bowl games? Because they are getting started this weekend. So let's just see about that. We want you to join our Daily Dose College Bowl Pick'em. Just go over to ESPN.com. Click on the link for Capital One Bowl Mania. Our league is called Daily Dose Podcast. You don't need a password. You can just join it. Let everyone you know that wants to play, come on over and play. Come play with the Daily Dose. You have a chance to win a trip to next year's college football national championship game or even $1 million from ESPN.
$1 million.
Now, I don't have a clue where ESPN is going to get that money because they can barely pay their employees or like buy coffee or anything else for their employees anymore. But I mean, that's their problem, right? Sorry, Sage Steele and Chris Berman, no paycheck for you this month. Someone from a group called the Daily Dose Podcast won your salary. Okay, but here's the thing. You need to enter soon and make your picks. Either way, I will be announcing the winner of our group on the show. I just might have to invite you on to brag about it. So invite whoever you want, friends, family, coworkers, whoever, bring them on. We will talk about the leaders, some of the best upset picks along the way. So go join the Capital One Mania. Pick them over on ESPN. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. It looks like Aaron Rodgers is coming back. So it's all good news for the Green Bay Packers, right? Not exactly. We have a Thursday night NFL game that is going to be way better than you think it is. I said better. I meant much, much worse. That's my bad. That's on me. And I realize it isn't March yet, so we don't really care about college basketball. But if you are so inclined right now, with college football kind of wrapping up here soon, we do have a few teams that might be worth your time to tune in and watch. Plus, as we do on Thursdays, we do have our Daily Dose Overreactions of the Week, where we discuss some of the biggest stories in the current sports world and if they are actually worth your time to pay attention to. We have a lot to get to on this Thursday morning, and we will get to it all right after this. Okay, we talked about it a little yesterday, and now it does seem like it's moving forward. Aaron Rodgers has been cleared to play again for the Green Bay Packers. You know, Rodgers was off to one of his best starts before that injury he sustained against Minnesota. Through 5 weeks, he was leading the NFL in touchdown passes. He had 13 already. And he had thrown just 3 interceptions. He was playing excellent football. And then he got hurt against the Vikings.
You done messed up, Aaron!
But remember the comeback victory in overtime when the Packers beat the Bengals at home in week 3? Remember that last-minute touchdown pass to Devontae Adams at Dallas just a couple weeks later? Packers might be the team to beat in the NFC early on. And then Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
You done messed up, Aaron!
When you look at quarterbacks, and I mean all time, physically as gifted. I don't know if anyone beats Aaron Rodgers. Guy is absolutely amazing. He can make every throw, make it with ease. He's got good enough legs to escape the pass rush. He's very, very smart. He's extremely accurate. Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks ever to play this game. The Packers have 3 games left this year. They can still play their way in. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. Here are the games remaining on the Packers schedule. They go to Carolina this week. They have the Vikings at home, and then they are at Detroit to close out the season. Hey, that is not a walk in the park at all. That is two of the toughest defenses in the league. And Rodgers really doesn't have a ton of weapons in his arsenal. Name his running back. Oh, yeah, that one guy? Right, exactly. Hey, if Aaron Rodgers gets the Green Bay Packers to the playoffs, look out, because they have absolutely earned it. But I have my doubts whether or not he can do that. And I mean, he has to be a little bit rusty, doesn't he? I realize that he's Aaron Rodgers and that he's this phenomenal physical freak. But your timing with your receivers is off. The way your offensive lineman has been playing is a little different. His touch, his accuracy could be a little bit off. Hey, if Aaron Rodgers leads the Packers to the playoffs, they're as dangerous as anyone. But that is going to be an uphill battle to get them there. Okay, so college bowl season is getting started this weekend, right? We just talked about that. And those games are just going to be popping up here and there. Like, we don't know where. They're just on random nights. Like, it'll be a Tuesday one night, and all of a sudden there'll be this bowl game. And you never know with bowl games, because sometimes you'll tune in, you'll see a great game. Sometimes you'll see something boring. Sometimes you'll see something amazing. You just, like, you kind of have to check in on bowl season, see what's on. I know the stadiums are going to be empty. There's no one going to these games, but you just kind of have to check in. But with college football winding down, you may want to start watching a little bit of college basketball. I know, it's not March. It's not March Madness time yet. It's not time for your office pool, your tournament bracket yet. It's not time for any of that yet. But you might want to tune in just a little bit, because there are some decent teams and some decent games out there. But who do you watch if you aren't just like a college hoops junkie? Like, you might not know which teams to watch. Year in, year out, a lot of times those things change. Usually, we can just go off the coaches, because we don't know any of these players anymore, right? In college basketball, unless it's just that one, maybe big name freshman, or the guy that's come back for his fourth year, whatever, you know, so I'm basically describing Duke, Grayson Allen, and the young freshman class that they have there. But other than that, do you really know these kids in college basketball anymore? No, you don't. You know their coaches, and that's it. So if you aren't sure who to watch, completely understand, because we don't get to know these kids anymore. But we do have some suggestions for you, depending on what kind of basketball you like to watch. So let me give you a few here. Let's say that you like offense. You like watching scoring. You like watching teams that get up and down. They can play in the post. They can score down low. They can shoot it from outside. You got three-point shooting. If that is the case for you, and you are a fan of offensive basketball, I encourage you, go watch the Duke Blue Devils. Post play? Yeah, they've got it. With Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter. Yes, they're young. They're just freshmen. They are very, very talented. You want three-point shooting? They can do that too. They've got Grayson Allen. They've got Gary Trent Jr. The Blue Devils are scoring more than 93 points per game. No, they don't play much defense. And that could eventually cost them. If there's anything that is going to hurt Duke this year, as talented as they are, it may end up being their defense. But they can flat out score on people. So if you enjoy a lot of offense, go watch Duke. You'll enjoy the way they play. Now, I understand a lot of people out there can't stand Duke. I get it. I completely feel for you. Maybe you want a different team. I want that kind of play, but I don't want to watch Duke. I don't want to watch Krzyzewski and all the Duke fans and all that nonsense. Hey, that's okay. Go tune in and watch someone like the Oklahoma Sooners, another team that gets up and down, scores a lot of points. Bobby Hurley, I know he's a Duke guy, put an asterisk next to it. Bobby Hurley down at Arizona State, the Sun Devils can score some points. They'd be worth watching. Maybe Gonzaga. I know they're kind of that mid-major program. Mark Few knows how to manufacture points. His Gonzaga Bulldogs, they can put up some points. Couple options there if you like high-scoring basketball. These are all teams, they're going to score 80, 90 points every time they walk in the gym. But maybe offensive basketball isn't what you like. Maybe you prefer your college hoops with some good defense. You actually want to see someone get a stop. You actually want to see someone just get up, play tough, physical defense. Who do you want to tune in for then? Hey, Tony Bennett's Virginia Cavaliers always seem to lead the nation in defense every single season. And they're doing it again this year. You know, Virginia allows just 52 points per game. They smother their opponents. If you watch Virginia play, They smother you all over the floor. They don't let you get comfortable. They don't let you do anything easy. Watch how physical they play. Even just your cuts through the paint get bumped. Everything gets chugged. Everything, you get knocked off your line constantly, every single time. It's just physical, tough defense. So if you want to see good defense, Virginia, pretty good place to start. You know, it's always fun to watch as we get down into the late part of the season, into the conference schedule, and you see Virginia play Duke later in the season. Because like something has to give. You always have Duke and their great offense, and then you have Virginia and that tough, nasty defense, and something has to give. And a lot of times, these two teams end up playing twice in the regular season and then again in the ACC tournament. Always interesting to see those. Again, maybe you don't want to watch Virginia basketball, but you want to see defense. Cincinnati, the Bearcats play very physical defense. Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans, always a good defensive team to watch. The thing I always like watching about Tom Izzo's team, just the way they rebound, the way they attack the glass. They go get it, and it is not an accident. That is the way Tom Izzo has taught them to play. You could even watch Boise State, who is a little bit better defensively than you might think. So if you like defense, there's a couple options for you. Maybe you like the three-point shot. The three-point shot can open the floor. It can spread things out. And it seems like with a three-point shot, no matter what the lead is, you might never be safe because you can get points in bunches with that three ball. Nothing like a team that fires away from distance. And unlike those younger ball brothers, some of these teams actually, you know, make the shots. So if you want to see a lot of three-point shots, and let's be real clear, three-point accuracy, you might want to tune in and watch the Kansas Jayhawks. Do you realize that Kansas averages about 11 three-pointers made per game? And a pretty good percentage, too. It's not bad. You know, head coach Bill Self, he is a very smart guy. And he's very, very good at finding quality shots for his players. Whether it's just out of their offense, out of kind of their secondary offense, or if he's running some sort of quick hitter, and he has a million of them. You watch Kansas, you'll see some pretty good three-point shooting. Washington State is another team. They will fire the three. So will Notre Dame. You know, Mike Bray, the head coach at Notre Dame, you want to talk about a guy that just practices a ton of offense, practices a ton of shooting. Mike Bray is that guy at Notre Dame. He is a coach that focuses on his offense and on his shooting. If you don't know Mike Bray's story, by the way, this is a guy that has a pretty good pedigree in the world of coaching. Mike Bray was coaching for Morgan Wootten back at DeMatha High School, back in Washington, D.C., who is a legend in his own right. Morgan Wootten is one of the best coaches ever, especially at the high school level. And then Mike Bray kind of got to know Mike Krzyzewski through the recruiting process, and Mike Krzyzewski pulled him to Duke. And so he's coached under two legendary coaches. But Mike Bray at Notre Dame, yeah, his teams can shoot the three pretty well. And if you want another team, not only do they shoot the three, but they splash a bunch of them. The Virginia Tech Hokies, under Buzz Peterson, they are shooting about 22 threes per game. They're making about 47, 48% of them. You want to see good three-point shooting? Virginia Tech might be a school that's going to appeal to you. Maybe the most appealing part about college basketball for you, though, is the full court pressure that some teams bring. It is kind of fun to see teams come out and they're just pressing and they're just flying all over. They're just attacking you. You think back to some of those teams in the past, you know, teams like Georgetown and the way they would just press you and attack you and come after you again and again and again. UNLV and that amoeba defense that they used to run. So maybe the pressing, trapping, that aspect of it is something that's really appealing to you. As a rule, if I want to watch good pressing basketball at the college level, I'm always going to start with Bob Huggins and West Virginia because Bob Huggins is one of the best at it. Watch their defensive rotations. They're not even always the same. A lot of times he'll trap in a different way. He'll trap from the backside. He does some really, really interesting things. But Bob Huggins at West Virginia, that is a great team. If you just like pressing high pressure basketball, West Virginia, pretty good place to stop. You know, they're not going to be in the tournament. But the Louisville Cardinals, they are always pretty good at applying pressure themselves. And I know that kind of came from the Rick Pitino era and what he was teaching there. But Louisville, like I said, they're not going to be in the tournament. But if you just like pressing basketball, if If you like that high pressure kind of basketball, the Louisville Cardinals, not a bad place to watch. They do run that kind of system a lot of the time. And from what I understand, you know, they're very, very good at applying that pressure. And they're also very, very good at tipping their strippers slash hookers, from what I understand. But that's just me. Hey, coming back, we are going to talk a little about the Thursday night matchup between the Denver Broncos and the Indianapolis Colts. Oh man, can't wait for that one, can you? And we will have our weekly Daily Dose segment. That's right, the best overreactions from the sports media world. You know you have to stick around for that. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you do any of that holiday shopping that you need to get done over at lootcrate.com/Daily Dose. Loot Crate has the best in pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go over there and you can order a crate. You can get a subscription to crates, or you can just buy individual items. December's Loot Crate theme is called Explore, and it features items from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Destiny. And if you go to lootcrate.com, they have a ton of items over there. Basically anything you can think of. Sweatshirts, hoodies, t-shirts, stuff for the kitchen, stuff for your dog, you name it, you can find it over at Loot Crate. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just put Daily Dose, DALYDOSE in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. All right, let's talk a little bit of Thursday Night Football because I know you're excited about it. You know, if you had said at the beginning of this NFL season that the Indianapolis Colts were playing the Denver Broncos late season Thursday night game, you probably would have thought the NFL had screwed up and actually scheduled a decent Thursday night game, right? You have Von Miller versus Andrew Luck. Team that just won it, a team that's trying to get there, a playoff spot is going to be on the line. Yeah, that's not really the case this week, is it? We have the 4-9 Trevor Siemian-led Denver Broncos going to visit the 3-10 Jacoby Brissett-led Indianapolis Colts. Now, I'm not saying this won't be a close game. I think it might be a close game. I don't have any idea who's going to win this game. Based on what Denver did last week against the Jets, I would favor Denver a little bit, but I'm not putting anything on Denver to win anything right now. I don't have any idea what they have. So it might be a close game. I kind of expect it to be. What I am saying is that it won't be a good game. It won't be a well-played game. It won't feature quality football. Now, I can break this game down. I can tell you what to expect when the Colts have the football. I can tell you what the Broncos are going to try to do to help Trevor Siemian settle in and execute a little bit on the road and try to get this win. But honestly, the only thing interesting to me about this game is going to be the color rush uniforms because I haven't seen what either team is wearing yet. I've heard the Colts are wearing all blue and Denver's wearing all white. What helmets? I don't know. What actual uniform? What era uniform? I don't know. I don't know any of those things. So, I mean, I guess there's the color rush thing. I don't know. I'm not going to give you a game breakdown because I don't care. These are both two bad football teams. You know, actually, instead, let's look at what else is on TV on Thursday night because there has to be something else to watch, right? Like, if you don't want to watch this game, totally get it. Like, maybe you tune in and see what they're wearing. Oh, yeah, it's blue and that's white. And then, like, you switch and you go to something else. I don't know. So, let's take a look and see what else is on TV there. Let me check. Let's see the TV guide here. Let's see. Big Bang Theory is on at 7. What time does this game start? Start at 7? Starts at 6:30? So this game starts at 6:30 Mountain Standard Time. Big Bang Theory is on at 7, if you want to switch over to that. Not the worst option. Let's see, Big Bang. What else do we have? The Hangover Part 3 is on Comedy Central. They made 3 of those? Like, I saw the first Hangover. It's really, really funny. They made 3 Hangovers? I don't think I saw anything after the first one. Like, after the first one, you can't keep doing that, can you? I mean, after a while, getting roofied over and over and over, it's not as funny, is it? Do you hear me, Bill Cosby? It's not that funny. Oh. Let's see. Texas Southern plays Baylor in college hoops. That's not bad, I guess. I don't know. 2 Texas schools. There's some women's volleyball on ESPN. Florida versus Stanford. You know, I'm not going to comment. No. Not going down that path. Not going to talk about what volleyball players wear. She's my cherry pie. I won't discuss that. Just lobbing it out there. I'm just saying you might enjoy women's volleyball on ESPN if you like that sort of thing. If you enjoy volleyball or that sort of thing, then you might enjoy the game is all I'm saying. See, Lakers versus Cavaliers on TNT. I kind of like what the Lakers are doing. Starting to play a little bit. They're at least competitive. They're at least competing. They look like they're showing progress. Kind of like what they're doing. Yes, they usually lose in the end, but I like what they're doing, the direction they're going. So you have Warriors and Mavericks. Not great. Not great, but Warriors-Mavericks, I mean, there's worse, I guess. That's not terrible. Let's see. Beat Bobby Flay is on. You could watch that. Snakes on a Plane is on one of the movie channels. Who named that movie anyways? Like, they didn't even try. I guess that's about it. So you can watch the Thursday night game if you want, but I gave you some other options. If there's something else out there that you want to watch, I completely understand. I would watch something else too if I were you, but I mean, this is kind of what I have to do. So I will probably be watching the game. I probably will not enjoy it very much. Okay, every week, it seems like we get some big overreactions from the sports media world, right? And so every week on Thursday, here at the Daily Dose, we take a look at some of the bigger stories that are out there that you have probably heard, and we discuss, is it nonsense? Is it real? Is it just sports media overreactions? Let's talk some overreactions this week. One of the biggest ones that I've heard, and you hear this, it seems like every time, this has become a really, really popular overreaction to have. Were the New England Patriots trying to lose on purpose on Monday night? Because it seems like this is all just an elaborate ruse by the Patriots. Like I said, this is starting to come out every single time the Patriots lose. I understand it. The Patriots don't lose very often. So when they do lose, you're like, what is Bill Belichick up to? Is he just getting over on everybody? I mean, everyone's saying, you know, the Patriots, they don't even care if they have to go on the road in the playoffs. So Belichick's just losing on purpose. He's just getting his team's attention. Because they don't care. They have to go to Pittsburgh, big deal. That's not a worry to them. They have to go to Kansas City, big deal. They don't even care. They'll go wherever. Okay, first off, Bill Belichick always has his team's attention. Like, name one time that Bill Belichick is talking to his team and guys are just like, man, is this dude still talking? Can we go do something else? I'm over him. Because I promise you, they're no longer with that team. I've told you, I think Bill Belichick is one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. Yes, he pushes the limit of the whole rules and ethics and morals thing, but one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. But if you think he's losing games on purpose, you haven't been watching Bill Belichick. Like, he would kick his own mother in the teeth if it helped him win. You know, the problem for the Patriots is they do have some flaws on this roster. They don't have great receivers. They haven't had great receivers all year. Losing Julian Edelman was huge. You take Gronk away, yeah, there's a serious problem with the Patriots. And so you could see a team that has the personnel to do it, press the receivers they have, and dare them to beat you. Go put pressure on Brady, and hey, you're right in this game. You can give the Patriots problems doing that. Now, that might sound easy as I say this. Hey, just put pressure on Brady, pressure their receivers, you're going to win the game. It sounds easy. That's not easy. Like, you have to have the people to be able to do that. You have to have the corners to be able to do it, to be able to pressure those receivers, come up and play press coverage against them. More importantly, you have to have the pass rush to get to Brady. I realize the offensive line isn't great, but they're good. They've gotten better. And that means your corners can cover for less time if you can get to Brady. Let's look at one thing with the Patriots this season. They're 10-3 this year. Pretty impressive, right? They've only lost to the Chiefs, the Panthers, and the Dolphins. I just want to throw this out there. What playoff teams have the Patriots beaten this year? Let's see. They beat the Saints. Saints might get in. That looks pretty good. They beat the Chargers. The Chargers might get in. Maybe. Let's see. They beat the Falcons. Maybe the Falcons get in. And then they beat the Buccaneers, the Texans, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Bills. That's not exactly murderer's row. So I don't buy the whole thing. Hey, the Patriots are just so good. They're just coasting. They're just trying to get through the regular season. No, they have some flaws on this roster. We saw those flaws the other night. Now, by the same token, understand this. I'm also not buying Tom Brady suddenly got old and now he sucks. Not yet. I don't care who the quarterback is. Name the quarterback. Pick your quarterback. Joe Montana, Tom Brady, John Elway, Dan Marino, Johnny Unitas, Peyton Manning. You name the quarterback. You hit him again and again and again. He is going to struggle. That is what football is. If you get to the quarterback struggles. That is a fact. On Monday night, Tom Brady got hit 6 times. He was pressured quite a bit. He was sacked twice. On the season, he's been hit over 70 times. That is going to be a problem no matter what his age is. No, the Patriots are not coasting. They are not just trying to get through because they already know we've got this locked up. I think they're the favorite in the AFC, but they do have some things that they're going to have to address and get better at on the offensive side of the ball. Another overreaction that I heard this week, the best return man in NFL history, Devin Hester, is retiring and he is a Hall of Fame lock. Devin Hester was a phenomenal returner. In his career, he returned 14 punts for touchdowns, 5 kick returns for touchdowns, was always a quality guy too. On and off the field, class guy. Absolutely electric when he got the ball. You know, he was an okay quarterback. He was eventually converted to wide receiver, and he actually managed to have back-to-back 50 reception seasons. Is he the single greatest returner in NFL history? Yeah, he might be. So is this an overreaction? Maybe. I'm not saying Devin Hester doesn't belong in Canton. I'm not saying that. But I really struggle with specialists getting in ahead of every down players. I know. Morten Andersen's in. Jan Stenerud's in. Ray Guy are all in. Yeah, and I struggle even more with those guys. At least Hester did actually play football. Those guys played soccer in a football game. Look, I'm not saying Devin Hester shouldn't be in. I have always said, can you write the story of the NFL without this player? With Devin Hester, probably not. Then again, I might need to rethink that. Because based on that, like Scott Norwood should be in. Aww. But you know what I mean. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, could you write the history of the game without them and what they did well in it? You know what I meant. But when I see guys like Jerry Kramer and Jim Marshall and Randy Gretishar and Kenny Stabler and Kenny Anderson and Donnie Shell not in Canton, I struggle with putting a guy in who played 5 plays per game. That's my struggle. Yes, Devin Hester's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm just not that thrilled about it. Another overreaction. The Oklahoma City Thunder need to fire their head coach. You know, the Oklahoma City Thunder are now just 12-14 under Billy Donovan. And considering they have Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and Paul George on this roster, that's not good enough. They're sitting at like 9th or 10th in the playoff race in the West. You can fire Billy Donovan if you want to. But if you think someone else is going into Oklahoma City and fixing that mess, you're probably kidding yourself. You have 3 guys that have to dominate the ball. So unless they approve that you can play with 3 basketballs, it's going to be tough to do much. I will promise you, Billy Donovan is trying to convince these guys to let go of the ball. Go set a screen. Go set a screen for someone else to get a shot. That is most conducive to you getting success. That is most conducive to all of us having success. It's going to take a while for them to buy in and actually do it. Remember the other day, we talked about changing player habits? I will guarantee you, Billy Donovan works on this stuff in practice every day. And in practice, they probably do it. And then the game starts, and they revert to those same habits, the habits they've been doing for the last 20 years. This mess is going to take some time to fix. That is not an easy fix. You can fire Billy Donovan if you want down in Oklahoma City. But this is a challenging group. And I'm telling you right now, the next guy you hire, yeah, it could get worse. Last overreaction we have. I've heard a lot this week about LeVar Ball sending his 2 sons to Lithuania to like play in the Lithuanian rec league or whatever he's doing. I don't know. Okay, here's the thing about that. Is it overreaction? I don't care. Let's get that on the table. I don't care. New rule on the Daily Dose. Unless I'm making fun of him. New rule on the Daily Dose. From now on, unless the news is about Lonzo Ball, I don't care about the Ball family. I don't care at all. The only one I care about at all is Lonzo Ball. I kind of like him. I kind of like what he's doing. He's starting slowly to figure some things out with the Lakers. I don't care about the 2 little balls.
Phrasing?
I don't care about the Ball family. I don't care about the rest of the balls.
Hey, phrasing!
The rest of the balls can go somewhere else. I don't care about them. Lonzo Ball, I'll pay attention to. Other than that, I don't care about the other balls and the Lithuanian rec team and what they're doing. And they won a big game last night against Lithuanian rec team B. I don't care about any of that. It doesn't matter to me. That is definitely an overreaction. I don't care about LaVar Ball at the Knicks game. I don't care about his sons at the Knicks game and what they ordered. And they had some nachos. And I don't care anymore. Hey, tomorrow is Friday. We are going to be looking at some of the best games and sporting events coming up this weekend that you are going to want to make sure to tune in for. Plus, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5 and the latest and greatest in sports news. Have to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. It is appreciated. Hey, make sure that you go over and sign up for the College Football Bowl Pick'em Contest at ESPN.com. You can also go to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. There is a link there as well. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday, everybody.